This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He should be in my eyes, and I'm not saying it's going to bias, but I think he should be Rookie of the Year. I mean, what he's been doing this year, he's been thrown into the fire as a starter. I mean, you put him up against some of the other guys in the running, I think his numbers speak for himself too. So he's just not even focused on that, and that's the best part about it. And we're kind of making it easy for him to just focus on the game, focus on yourself and having fun and having games like tonight and just letting it loose and letting it fly.
That's Trey Young, guys, talking about Zachary Risacher, très bon, who's been really good. And he says, hey, man, let's make this cat the Rookie of the Year. Generally, the Rookie of the Year gets a lot of shots on a really bad team. Well, this year we traded DeAndre Hunter. Jalen Johnson got hurt, but he's been good. And he's popped 21 last night, 5-9 from three. He's had a 30-point night. He's had some big nights. So I would say yes. And that's another example of Trey showing some leadership and caring about others, including his little buddy, Zachary Risacher.
Oui.
Talk more about the Hawks and around the NBA with the playoffs looming with Brian Geltzeiler. He's from Sirius XM NBA analyst and always rocks the boat, man. Gets people fired up every time he comes on the show. Chris is in for Carl today, Brian. What do you think? We'll start there. What do you think about Risacher's first season?
He's been great. Listen, I picked him to be my Rookie of the Year before the season began, and I'm not sorry that I did. It's, you know, you've had the inconsistencies that you'll see of a 19-year-old dude over the course of the season, but it's starting to come into form in a really good way right now. The physical profile's there, real long. I mean, almost 6'10 long, and athletic and smooth. And, you know, the thing about Risacher, the whole book on him was does everything good but nothing great. And I think that's what you're seeing. He's a good, well-rounded player. Is this a superstar in the making? Probably not. But a starter on a playoff team and a productive guy, there's no doubt he's going to round into that. I like what I've seen this year. And again, as the season's gone on, he's gotten better and better.
Brian, speaking of accolades, why isn't Dyson Daniels higher on the DPOY list?
It's a great question, and it has to do with bias. The bottom line is this. There is two biases. First of all, there's one main awards bias that drives me crazy, which is the advanced stats bias, where you do have a lot of voters who are spending more time looking at spreadsheets than basketball courts, And so they see certain things that jump off the page on a spreadsheet, and that tends to rule the day. And at times that can almost dictate a narrative of what you see on the floor based upon what you're reading on the spreadsheet. So I like it to be the other way around. Is the spreadsheet reinforcing what I see with my eyes? Not are my eyes reinforcing what I'm reading on the spreadsheet? So I think you get that with voters. The other thing when it comes to this award in particular, Defensive Player of the Year, there is a big man bias. You don't see a lot of perimeter players win this award. And even with, you know, people I'm talking to around the league right now, the name you're hearing the most is Evan Mobley. And listen, I think Evan Mobley's had a super season, and the Cavs have been awesome. And I think if he wins the award, it will be far from a travesty. But this I can promise you guys, from all I've watched Dyson Daniels this year, I don't know that I'm going to pick him for Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to land on my ballot because he's been that good. He's that disruptive. And I feel like I look at the Hawks, and I look at that Murray trade, by the way, guys. Right. Oh, my God, what a heist. The Hawks, Daniels has been a better fit on the Hawks than Murray ever was. Right. And you collected two first-round picks with him, which is unbelievable. So I kind of look at what Daniels has been to the Hawks, and I shudder to think where they'd be without him. He's not going to win the award. There's no doubt. But all I can say is that as a voter, he's highly likely at this stage of the season to land on my ballot.
Talking about the NBA guys, our usual good guy, man. We like this dude. Brian Geltzeiler is usually bringing some heat, and we'll see if he gets some say to maybe tick off Hawks fans. So far, it's all bouquets. By the way, you mentioned Evan Mobley. He got faked out of his jock last night by Kawhi Leonard as they took down the Cavs. You buying the Clippers getting hot? Again, if the Clark can stay healthy, or how do you see that whole play in? There's some really good teams in the West all jockeying for the same spot.
Yeah, I'm buying the Clippers, and I'm buying the Clippers for a couple reasons. Number one, guys, they guard. They're really good defensively. Jeff Van Gundy's running that defense, and it's his vision. I mean, Chris Dunn's starting because he defends people well, and they value that part of the game. Listen, Norm Powell last night played 17 minutes, all right? It was a return from an injury. He didn't look great, but the bottom line is that he wasn't defending well. And this is how crazy it's got with the Clippers. The weakest defender that plays consistent minutes for them is probably Kawhi Leonard, who is not the defensive player that he once was. So you look at where they are and how well they guard. And listen, Zubac, to me, is a candidate for most improved player with the year that he's had. He's always been good. He's been phenomenal this year. So, yeah, I think the Clippers are capable of beating anyone in a playoff series. Anyone. Now, are they capable of beating everyone? Probably not, because you're counting on McCaw to stay healthy. I don't know that he can. There's the Harden piece, which, you know, listen, Harden last night, 5 of 18 from the field, 2 of 11 from 3, did have 9 assists and was only the third leading scorer, was smart enough to keep feeding both Leonard and Zubac, who were hot. But you do wonder, you know, about Harden's playoff history and when that rears its ugly head. I would think it's going to. With all that said, I think I do buy the Clippers. I think they're very good. But again, it's going to take a unique team in this stacked Western Conference to be able to win 3 playoff series. And I just don't know that the Clippers are the one that can.
Do the Cavaliers have what it takes to stave off Boston in a playoff series?
Yes, they do. Do I think they will? No. But do they have what it takes? There's no doubt they have what it takes. They have built a very deep, very versatile roster. Because you look at how they start. I mean, they play one wing, 2 bigs, and essentially 2 smaller guards. But they go to the bench with all these different types of wings, from Hunter to Jerome to Dean Wade to Okoro. Like, they got a good bench. They got good guys off this bench that and all fill in different wing spots. And because of the versatility of the starters, because Mobley can move over and play center. Mitchell can move over and play point guard. Like, they can stack the lineup with bench wings also. They got a ton of shooting. They guard really well. There's not a bad thing you could say about the Cavaliers. The thing is, when you hit the playoffs, it's different. The game is different. The game slows down. It's a matchup type of game. And from a matchup standpoint, I don't know that I think the Cavs are going to struggle wing-wise with the Celtics. That's one of the reasons they did what they had to do to get DeAndre Hunter, because he at least helps them match up athletically with one of Tatum or Brown, and that's going to be their big issue. With all that said, keep in mind, guys, last year the
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Celtics ran through the Eastern Conference, and they didn't have Kristaps Porzingis. They're not running through the Eastern Conference this year and getting to the finals without a healthy version of Kristaps Porzingis, because Cleveland will take him. And listen, without Porzingis, it'd be tough for them against New York also.
Right.
He's vital to what they do this year, especially against Cavs.
It is a Brian Geltzeiler, guys, serious XM NBA analyst. We talked a lot about the ESPN bias, how they don't pay any attention to Cleveland and Oklahoma City, and Stephen A. got in his feels about it, but it's 100% accurate because they just don't give the love. I thought it was impressive a few weeks back when OKC went into Boston, and Mark Dano, the coach, throws in like this lineup using his bigs, and like Missoula and Boston has like no way to counter it. It's just like, wow, the guy was playing chess. I mean, can OKC, on the same argument, can they handle the bright lights over there in the West?
I think so. I mean, the thing I worry about with OKC is playoff experience. If there's one thing that we've been taught, it's very rare for a team without a wealth of playoff experience to advance their way in the finals and win a championship. Have we seen it? Sure. We saw the Warriors in 15 do it. We saw the Raptors in 19. But more times than not, you're going to see a situation here where a team will run into where they're going to run into a foxhole spot where there's a lot of adversity, and they need guys that have been there to be able to help guide them out. I worry about OKC in that scenario. With that said, the way Dagnall's experimenting with these two bigs, The results are even better than what I thought they'd be. This is the deepest team in the league. And again, experience-wise, are they good enough? We'll see. I mean, listen, Denver to me is a tough matchup. So it's interesting. We talked about that Boston game a couple weeks ago, and they were great against Boston. There's no doubt. But then you look at the second matchup a week ago Monday, and that, like, that, you know, two matchups in 3 days of OKC versus Denver. OKC won the first one. They gave up 140 to Denver in the second one. So you kind of look at where those matchups lie, and it's not going to be easy. Now, listen, I think OKC could do all right against a team like Golden State that's going to struggle with their size. I think you could see something like that. I'm not completely sold on either Houston or Memphis for the same reasons that I worry about OKC, and OKC is better than them both. The Lakers loom interesting with healthy LeBron James because they've gotten really good play inside from Jackson Hayes. It's one of the unsung heroes on why their defense has been as good as it's been after the Anthony Davis-Luka trade. Hayes has been terrific for them. So you look at that, and the combination of the fact that they're going to run the other four guys around Jackson Hayes are going to be LeBron at 6'8", Luka at 6'8", and Hachimura at 6'10". Plus, there's Dorian Finney-Smith at 6'6", 6'7", who's had a resurgence also for the Lakers because he's back. You know, he knows how to play with Luka better than anybody from his Dallas days.
Right.
To me, the Lakers and the Nuggets are two big threats. The other one I wouldn't sleep on are the Minnesota Timberwolves, who with Randall and DiVincenzo back have hit their stride, and Randall's changed his game since he came back from injury, is finding people a lot more. And the Timberwolves are deep. They're tough. Naz Reid, who improves every year, has once again improved this year in a way where he's going to be a real, real force for them in the playoffs. So Minnesota 40-30 here, to me, is a very, very dangerous team.
Brian, before we let you go, what in the heck is going to happen with Philadelphia next year?
It's so much of what happens with Philadelphia is going to be based upon if they keep this pick. If they keep this pick, I could see them taking a step backwards to build a little bit because of Maxey and McCain and whoever they would get with this top six pick. If they lose this pick, they're stuck. They're stuck having to try to run this thing back with Paul George and Joel Embiid. And listen, and the Embiid extension decision, and as much as we want to lay that at Daryl Morey's feet, that kind of money isn't thrown around. If ownership, and that's an experienced ownership group that Josh Harris leads. If ownership doesn't rubber stamp that extension, it doesn't happen in that way. Embiid's got to want to be at the top of his game again. The work ethic thing for him and getting in the proper shape continues to get in the way of him fulfilling his potential. It plays a role in the injuries. And listen, Joel Embiid, they established a culture with him at a very early stage when he got to Philadelphia, where everybody kind of did what he said. He did what he wanted to do. He didn't have to listen to anybody. And now that horse is out of the barn. I mean, the one term I keep using, guys, for Embiid and the Sixers is that he keeps pooping on their head, and they keep thanking him for the hat. I mean, that's how that keeps going. So now you have a situation where Embiid, who never should have played in the Olympics, and the knee wasn't good in the Olympics, couldn't give him anything this season. Right. And listen, they got caught holding the bag with Paul George. They held out cap space. They knew they had a shot at him. They knew the Clippers were going to come up short. They knew they could be highest bidder. When a player like Paul George, with his career numbers, has this kind of drop-off at his age 34 year, it ain't getting better. And right. That's the thing you look at with the Sixers. And Embiid's untradeable right now. George, unless you're taking back somebody else's garbage contract, is very much untradeable right now. So they're really stuck. But again, I could see them just even attaching a pick or two to Paul George to get rid of him if they end up with a top three to top five pick and they get a Flag, a Harper, a Bailey, an Edgecombe, one of these guys that they feel like they could build around them, a Maxey and McCain. You have an interesting young core for the future, and you don't have to worry as much about the Embiid-George thing if it's not going to work out for you. It gives you more flexibility. If they don't keep this pick, if they don't land in the top six, and OKC gets their pick outside the top six, this is it continues to be a disaster for the Sixers. One more quickie about the Sixers. I would be very, very surprised to see Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse both in their jobs there next year. I think Bob Myers, who keep in mind is a lead advisor to the Washington Commanders that Josh Harris is also the majority owner of, I could see Bob Myers stepping in to try to clean this Philly situation up, because I think they're going to say goodbye to Daryl Morey here.
Well, nothing warms the cockles of our heart more than hearing them struggle in Philadelphia, Brian. Appreciate your time as always, man. And again, we'll see. Hopefully, we know that Trey's capable of getting us into the playoffs. Just a matter of what we're going to do if we wind up, 2-7.
I'm happy with Trey.
Right on.
You guys have hurt me so much not be happy with Trey. You know what? Listen, Trey had a little bit of a tough period after the trade deadline when they traded Hunter, where he went into selfish mode, but he's kind of snapped out of that a little bit. And the infrastructure they're building between Johnson and Reese Shea and Daniels and Okongwu, to build this thing around Trae Young and keep him. Trae Young right now, I will say this, and you've rarely heard me say this, guys, more valuable to the Hawks than he's going to be to anybody else in the trade. The Hawks won't be able to get a lot for him in a trade. Keep him around. Let him keep up this role of distributor, because he's making young guys around him better, and the Hawks need that.
Right on, brother. That's our man, Brian Geltzeiler from SiriusNBA. Thanks, man. Enjoy the weekend.
My pleasure, guys. You too. Take care.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode, where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.